Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yeah. Oh, we're here. DMVR Draft Pod. Like all of our draft coverage this offseason, presented by Raising Cane's. Order online at RaisingCane's.com or through their mobile apps. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, One Love, and Breckenridge Distillery. Products available in all 50 states. They're delicious, record award-winning spirits available in all 50 states. And for you online at BreckenridgeDistillery.com for home delivery or award-winning Breck spirits. We're back home. We're not at the farmhouse. Back in a familiar setting here. Another playoff game competing with us. But what do we care? We just had drafted a quarterback. Insane stuff coming out of the reports on how Sean Payton views Bo Nix.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Payton trolling the Vikings, talking about actively fueling reports of wanting to move up. So yeah, man, what a day. What are your indications after sleeping on it? Not sleeping on it.
Not
you published
sleeping.
A film room, so we've got that going for us.
We do have that going for us. You know, the thing is, when you spend like 8 hours just watching and thinking about Bo Nix, it's really tough to just find a starting point. You know, like
it's
I have so many
true.
Things that I need to get
yes.
off my chest.
Yes.
And I legitimately don't know what the first thing actually is.
That's a great point. There are so many different things to get into. We could literally do the whole pod on this. We want to get into more
like,
first round stuff. You guys will do a lot of the pods the next month will be bonus.
Oh, 100%. And on top of that, I mean, we're going to be live for 5 hours tonight.
Yeah.
There
exactly.
will be some Bo Nix talk in there
Todd's
as well.
Todd's going to be back for rounds 2 and 3. Oh, it's a beautiful thing.
Strez likes my hat. Thank you, Strez.
Strez, you don't know this. I was here earlier. I was wearing the same hat. Henry comes in wearing it out of respect. I took it off and changed my hat. I have about 15 on my desk and another 8 in my car ready to go at all times.
I just brought the one. Yeah, okay. Bo Nix, though.
Yeah. Biggest thing from your rewatch.
So I think I should say this. So I wasn't the biggest Bo Nix fan throughout this entire process.
He was my sixth quarterback.
I saw him as more of
he was
a guy
as well.
Who you bring in, and he kind of patches up the problem. I think he's somebody who you bring in to run an offense, maybe a pretty specific kind of offense, which is something he can do. And I wasn't totally sure if there was upside there.
We like the floor. We questioned the ceiling. Fair
100%,
to say?
100%. I think that in going back and watching, the difference this time going through was that
it's fun doing it with fresh eyes.
It really is, because I hadn't done this in months.
The guys who I had the biggest variance from my board are always the ones the night of the draft I have the most fun going back, trying to kind of wipe the slate clean,
100%.
Watch with fresh eyes and be like, I did my work. Now it's let's watch it and think, why would someone like Sean Payton invest in this kid?
I think that the first time around, I got bored. I think that when you watch Bo Nix, there are a lot of plays. Like you watch the cutups. It's every single Bo Nix pass, and it starts with a screen. I'm like, okay, it's a screen. Move along. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's another screen. Okay, move along. Oh, it's an RPO. Nice throw on the slant on the RPO. It's an RPO. let's move along. And then it's a
good job on that check down to the running back
exactly,
for the flats.
Exactly. Yep. And then it's like, oh, you got a couple curls here sitting in cover four. Yep. Nice job.
Oh, there's a nice little scramble. Next thing you know, they're in the red zone and they just like got in jumbo personnel and Bucky Irving's running some like funky little touchdown outside.
100%. And then you look up and you're halfway through the second quarter and you're like, come on, do an NFL thing for me. Like, come on, do something. Like, what are we doing here? Impress me. But I think
undoubtedly one of the harder evaluations in this quarterback class.
Definitely.
And which is saying something. Yes. It's a quarterback class full of tough evals.
And Sean Payton even said last night that he had the analytics team just throw out all of the little kind of the gimmicky stuff. And
the short behind the line of scrimmage stuff. Yep.
And just see what the stats said if you just take all that away. Because you really have to do that. I also think, though, that you can't ignore his effectiveness on those throws. You know, having just gone back through the whole Zach Wilson thing.
Great point. For example. I think this cannot be disregarded because a lot of offenses are throwing a ton of screens and they're going tempo and they're wide open. And none of those other offenses have broken the record for completion percentage.
And you go back through and you watch some Zach Wilson and you're like, okay, this is a check down and he just spiked it. Or this is a check down, he just put it over the guy's head. The fact that every single time, not every single, I mean, there are a couple misses in there, it's football. But
you're
the
handling
batting
the ball
average,
every time, those do happen.
The batting average is so high on the short stuff that you have to look at all of it as a whole and say, this is impressive as a whole, even though each one of these individually isn't all that impressive. And then you can expand from there and say, okay, he's getting the ball out really quickly. Every single time it's catch, like just step, bang, catch, step, bang, catch, step, bang.
And playing with supreme accuracy and confidence, right? Mm-hmm. And I think because of that, anticipating throws maybe more than your run-of-the-mill quarterback prospect.
Yep.
Fair?
Yep, I think so. And I think Sean Payton also brought up the accuracy and pointed out he thinks the best sign of accuracy is the short accuracy, the quick throw accuracy.
That's interesting.
Because while if you're throwing the ball 40 yards downfield, the accuracy is you got to hit a guy from 40 yards away, which is a tough thing to do for a guy like me or you.
Yeah.
In the quick game, it's about you got to put this ball right here on the front shoulder, or you got to put this ball like right here. It's so pinpoint that is a true sign.
Yeah,
and having heard and that accuracy first, you go back through and you're like, wow, these are really well placed on top of it.
Yeah.
You can tell that he knows what's coming before the snap, which is a very good thing. He's reading, he's reading coverages. He knows what his matchups are.
Yes, sir.
He's, you know, you got the curls sitting in different gaps. You know, you got to clear out on the outside so you can have this guy follow in behind, get out quickly, bang, and he hits it. And I think that those are the real strengths. And I think that those are very good strengths to have. I think that that is what makes it such a high floor. Some would call it a game manager. But I think he did it at such a high level that you can get excited about an offense where, hey, you want to throw the ball? There's 5 yards out there just about every single play.
Well, what got me excited about your film room is the intermediate stuff.
There's a little spiciness.
Yeah. There's zip.
And there's definitely zip.
When I watch the tape, you see those, which you really like. You see he gets it to the sidelines, easy peasy, right? Even if it's within 10 yards, those sometimes are your better indicators of arm strength.
Definitely.
Can you get it with the right placement and right timing all the way to the sideline? Like from your non-throwing arm side, right? Like,
and with the wide hashes. That's the other thing. Is they run so many of those like, oh, it's off coverage. We're just going to run a curl.
Exactly.
Which you look at and you're like, another goddamn curl? We're doing curl again? I can't watch. I've seen 24 damn curls. Don't show me another curl. I can't take another curl. It's 4 a.m. But then you see him and he whips the curl out there. It's like, hey, that's just good offense. That's playing the game.
He's super effective.
And I think that's one of those things where for Drake May, for example, I think I said on the show yesterday, you kind of just need to teach him football. Like you need to teach him how to play the game. Bo Nix knows how to play the game. He sees off coverage, bang. It's that curl. He's going to hit that.
He's at a different point in his progression as a football player. He's more of a point guard quarterback.
As he should be pretty well progressed, given that he's the third oldest first-round quarterback in the history of the NFL.
61 games started, I believe, is a record. When we did the Bill Parcells rules for this quarterback class, he checked off every single box. Like he doubled the requirement. And then there's the special stuff, which rewatching got me excited. And there's as crazy more, yep. as some of the Patrick Mahomes comps can be that
the,
we're hearing
the comp coming
out
from
Sean,
one Sean Payton.
Sean Payton.
Yeah.
the special stuff does have some of that. And I'll highlight two throws that I saw that weren't in your film room. One is end of the first half against mm-hmm. Oregon State. They're driving down. They're at the 40 Oregon State field territory. 19 seconds left. He scrambles out to the right, is able to break contain on like mm-hmm. a blitz. And then mid-stride, throwing across his body, mm-hmm. gets it 30 yards deep to Troy Franklin, just drops it in the
yes.
bucket,
yep, yep, yep.
and it's wide open, and bang, instead of settling for a field goal or having to figure that out, 19 seconds mm-hmm. left against the 16-ranked in-state rivals. You are now up like
yep.
two scores in that game. It smoked them.
And there's another one that's very similar going back across his body that I didn't include. Because, I mean, there were 38 plays yeah. in that film room, and you got to make some cuts.
Also, the throws across your body, yeah, sometimes they're not the best.
Generally, you know? You say don't do that.
Right.
But, again, the on that throw in particular, so the receiver's coming across from right to left. He rolls out to the right, and there's just so much space on the left side. The corner's on top of him, and so he pulls the receiver back because there's so much space in front of him. He just throws the ball to space. Troy Franklin runs underneath the ball, catches it, makes the move, and goes to the end zone. So it's that understanding of space, too. Know when you need to throw hard.
Yeah. Yes.
When you need to kind of pull things back inside to where you can give a receiver leverage downfield.
And he anticipates.
He does anticipate.
And
he
like,
certainly anticipates.
There's another one. Third and 10. Open blitzer coming off the strong side. He's able to avoid that. So, again, breaking contain. Mm-hmm. And then mid-stride. Gets it up, just drops it in the bucket to Troy Franklin, kind of running an out. And Troy Franklin gets like 4 feet inbounds. It's so yeah. nice. But when I watch the replay from another angle, by the time Bo's launching that, Troy Franklin's just started to break his route. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot mm-hmm. of that, which is like, man, we don't see a ton of this in college.
And I think the flip side of that, and I think you add on top of that, there's a lot of like the pre-snap anticipation too. You read the defense, you yep, know where it's yep. going to be, and bang, it's right there.
Yep.
What makes me excited about that is the fact they only threw 3 interceptions last year. Like, it's one thing to be anticipating,
yes,
and you know what? Sometimes it doesn't go well. 3 picks is, it gives you a lot of reason to, you know, I included a section where it's just like balls that just barely went over a defender's fingertip. And then just
yeah.
hit yep. right where they need to hit and their completions down the field. Really exciting pass. You look at those and you're like, not sure if this is a ball you should be throwing because there's literally a defender 2 feet in front mm-hmm. of the receiver.
The layered throw stood out.
Exactly. But
and those are gutsy.
When there's only 3 picks all season, the batting average is that high.
Yep.
You can give him the benefit of the doubt and say, yeah, make that throw. You've proven you can do it. And you haven't turned the ball over trying to do it.
There aren't a ton of quarterbacks where there's like literally zero bad tape from the previous season.
Yeah.
And that's kind of Bo Nix this year.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to get into a huge factor from your film room
yep.
that I really think is at the core of how high Bo Nix's ceiling can be.
Yep.
But first, shout out to Raising Cane's, of course,
always.
Our presenting sponsor. Boy, they hooked it up, Hank.
Oh, yeah.
These hats are gorgeous. We had some awesome gift bags. Lucia was blown away by what they gave us. And of course, the chicken, guys. Tender, made to order chicken fingers. So
we got this Raising Cane's cup.
Look at that.
Which
cup.
I brought with me because I was actually thinking like, oh, I'm going to be sitting up here.
Hydro.
This is 3:30 show.
Hydrated.
We got 5 to 10 show.
Gotta stay hydrated.
And I was like, well, wait, I just got the perfect thing for this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
There you go. For cook to order hand-breaded chicken fingers, race into Raising Cane's. Get yourself some cane
Raising
sauce
Cane's.
And have a great draft night. We might actually have to like order Cane's for tonight. We'll look at that.
I've only eaten donuts and chocolate milk today.
Real quick. This morning, I am using Cane's. That was my breakfast.
Really?
That's
I'm
a,
not going to lie.
That's an that's elite breakfast. That's an elite breakfast. I went back to the farmhouse to pay our bill. So that was good.
Nice.
So that's where I had lunch. Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster by ordering online at RaisingCane's.com or through their mobile app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love, baby. And then Breckenridge Distillery. Breckenridge Bourbon Whiskey is the official bourbon of the Denver Broncos. Look for their 2024 Broncos Bourbon Blends to hit shelves in August. It's beautiful. They drafted an old enough quarterback. You don't have to worry about Breck Distillery applying.
So true.
I bet Bo Nix is a big Breck Distillery guy.
Oh.
Quarterback room, rank Breck Distillery guys. Is it Ben DiNucci? Is Ben DiNucci a like sneaky Breck Distillery guy in that QB room?
He would be a sneaky one.
Stidham feels like he really enjoys a good
Ben
bourbon.
Ben DiNucci looks like he indulges in a Breck Distillery.
But the thing is, I feel
Bo
like
Nix has lived the good life.
Yeah.
And Zach Wilson was literally a celebrity in Manhattan for the Jets. So I don't know. I think they could all enjoy some Breck Distillery.
Because I feel like it's always like distillery guy or beer guy.
Right.
They all kind of lean distillery guy. Dude. Like you don't have like beer guy. Like, and you even think like from the South, but then you look at how it works in the South, like Bo Nix being Auburn royalty in the South. That's bourbon, you know?
Atta baby, tread lightly. BreckenridgeDistillery.com is where you can order some Breck Distillery and drink like a Broncos QB. We can say it officially.
I'm sure they're
Breck
doing
Distillery
that.
Products available in 50 states. Check them out. Apres anywhere.
Yeah.
All right. Deep ball accuracy, Hank. Deep ball accuracy.
So
in a class that really excelled in deep ball accuracy, especially, let's specify, from within the pocket, Bo Nix, that's probably where he's a bit below the curb. Again, in a class that really excels and probably has a pretty high curb.
So as you could probably imagine, I have a lot of thoughts about this. One of them is about the rest of this class. And
great
I think
Toyota chat from Root.
Oh, great Toyota chat from Root. Oh, he's always the best job, at Toyota Root. Chatting.
Yeah.
I'm setting a high standard in there, if I'm being honest, guys.
No doubt.
Try to keep
it up.
Yeah. I think that comparing him to the others is what makes it tough. Because this is a really good defense. I mean, it's Caleb Williams, obviously. It's Drake May, who's not one strength. It would be unfair to say his one strength is that he hits on every deep ball, but that is the big one. That's the one that gets you excited. It's Michael Penix Jr., who is a deep ball master, the best placement down the field of anybody in this class, potentially. It's
frankly, Jaden Daniels to me is
right. You watch the highlights. Like it could be it. Like you look at the numbers, they would back that up as well. You're like, well, it is Malik Nabers. It is Malik Nabers. But look, I mean, he did it. So I do think that it's a high bar in this class. But I do think the Bo Nix falls down farther. Couple stats, like for
Michael
example,
going in on the Falcons. I love it.
If you're just looking there, I think there's 14 completions downfield that were 20 yards or more downfield outside the numbers. So that's
all
where
season
14 all season there. That's about one per game.
Is that from within the pocket?
That's total. That is total.
Cause I swear when he's on the, like on the run is where I do see more. And that's where I think, you know, on boots and that kind of, like, he's a very Shanahan offense quarterback to me.
Yep.
And there I do think you can have the deep ball. But that that stat shocked me because when I watched the tape, there's not a ton, but gosh, I could have sworn there was more than that.
And I think my issue with the deep ball, I think there are probably two of them. The big one is not necessarily finding completions 20 yards downfield as much as it's hitting guys in stride as they're on their way toward the end zone downfield. There are a lot of times, like if you were to look at those 14 completions, a lot of them are, like you said, like breaking the pocket and a guy comes and is cutting back and is kind of like sitting on the sideline facing him. Or that there's some like back shoulder balls that are nice, that are downfield, that are, you know, 20 plus yards. But it's this guy has his man deep. If you hit him in stride, it's a touchdown. Will you hit him in stride? And I just don't like the batting average.
It's the go ball with that perfect placement.
And again, like you underthrow a couple of them and they still get caught because the guy's coming back. You overthrow one, maybe get PI. But that to me is the big problem I see. But again, I mean, it's also high variance skill. We're talking about there's 14 completions. Maybe four of those, five of those are the guys who are running in stride downfield. And how many does he try? Maybe, what if he's 5 for 20? What if he's 5 for 15? Like, could that also just work out to be 7 for 17, 8 for 17 next year, and all of a sudden. So I think that the small sample size, high variance.
And there's the higher variance, right?
So it's, I mean, like, there's reason to be optimistic.
Yeah.
Especially because I think that that might have been one of his skills when he was at Auburn. But I you kind of coach that away. And
that's
what got me more excited. You take the rhythm away from those deep balls when you're not trying them as often. I would imagine that's harder to hit.
We should also mention J.J. McCarthy struggled in that area.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And that's what...
Like, the J.J. Bull evaluation really came down to, do you believe because J.J. is 3 years younger that he'll catch up and thus has the higher ceiling and stuff? But
yeah,
I think the profiles are quite similar.
There's a lot of similarities, for sure.
And then, you know, what got me excited was some of the analytics, which when I got into the yards per attempt, which, as you've explained, is a flawed stat.
A lot of catch and run in there.
A lot of catch and run,
but
for sure.
If you hit them in stride, they catch and run. That's what they do.
The studies I've seen, that's areas where guys like Mahomes and Josh Allen have excelled, and the touchdown percentage in the red zone.
Yeah, it's better than completion percentage.
Zach tweeted out some stuff from Sean Payton on the Pat McAfee show. He was also first and third downs. had the fewest sacks of anyone in this class. Him and Saban both calling him the most accurate quarterback in college football last season in this draft class. And obviously, statistically speaking, he is the most accurate in college football history. He was first at the end of the first half in the 2 minute, first at the end of the game in 2 minutes, and second in the red zone.
And that's interesting to me because I didn't come into this thinking he's the most accurate. Because, again, like, you have Michael Penix right there, who's putting perfect placement on balls 20, 30 yards downfield. And you look at that and you're like, look at that accuracy. But I mentioned this before that Sean Payton made a good point that underneath accuracy really is important because that's where you hit a guy in stride. That's where you let him box out. That's where you don't let a defender get an arm in there. And I think that...
And he's mixing speeds. He's mixing arm angles. And he's keeping the offense on time and playing with tempo.
It's not the flashy accuracy, but accuracy is... I mean, it's consistency is 80% of accuracy.
Yeah.
It's not just can you do it. It's doing it every single time. And he does do that. So, again, when I first see the clip, like, he's the most accurate in the class. I'm like, eh, I don't know. Look at some of these guys. But then you go back and really think about it. It's like, I mean, he doesn't miss that many throws. Like, he's accurate.
If I may, a quick little soliloquy on Pat Mahomes and the comps that have come out. Mahomes, Daniel Jones, and AJ Manuel, I'm probably missing one or two, I believe are my three lowest graded first round quarterbacks ever drafted.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Good call on two. Pretty bad call on one of those, I'd say.
It's a pretty good batting average, though. That's weighted pretty heavily by one of the greatest quarterbacks in history.
No, I missed on the one. The generational talent in the 11-year window I've been working on. I missed.
The big thing about Mahomes, gimmicky offense, we never really seen an air raid guy pan out to that point. He sits a year, and by that second year in the NFL, he was showing accuracy on the short stuff that I hadn't seen, nor had I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Bo kind of has that. Bo's probably a year older than Mahomes was, so maybe he's already at that point in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's like I said over and over on the live show yesterday, it's really about marrying crazy special sauce Bo Nix and ultra responsible surgical short guy, you know, on the short stuff Bo Nix that we saw at Oregon. You know, it's this fun marriage of we always think of the dual threat quarterback is basically Anthony Richardson, Josh Allen, right? That's that's the prototype.
Yep.
But I've always wondered, what if we had a dual threat guy who's more like, what if Chad Pennington was just like one of the five most athletic QBs in the league?
The question everybody's been asking for decades.
You know,
who hasn't been up at night wondering that?
Lamar Jackson kind of is that.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Like, super accurate and responsible over the middle.
Middle
Nix, I think, could kind of be that mold.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we always think of the dual threat as just like cannon of an arm, but inaccurate. What if this guy could be the accurate guy with that dual threat ability as a runner? Super elusive, deceptive, and doesn't take big hits.
Important.
He's got that Mahomes-esque deceptive athleticism.
It's not quite to that level, I don't think. I think
There I is bet just you little, he runs a faster 40.
I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. Straight line speed, definitely better.
And yes, Mahomes does do that. There's like tippy-toeing on the sideline. That's a little crazy.
There's like a weird... The balance there is just
he's
different.
Like Jokic-esque in some of the like maneuvering he's able to do.
I wish he wasn't.
Yeah.
But you're right.
So yeah,
one more thing on the deep passing.
Please.
There's also there's the in-stride stuff on the go balls. There's also... like the corner routes. I would love more corner routes. I would love to see him drive a ball to the sideline. I'd love to see more hole shots from him. And I think those are flashier throws for sure. Those are the Penix throws. They're the ultimate pocket passer throws.
And there's more that stuff you can't teach to it.
Yep. And there's also, I mean, they didn't run like a lot of the smash concepts where you would run that. Which is interesting because they run so many different offensive concepts, which is one of the things that really surprised me in going back and watching. Because I kind of think, okay, screen, read option, one read slants. But you go through and they really do all those like old school West Coast, like the stick, the slot fade with the curl in behind it, like over, they really do run a lot of those. And
they'll cross you to death some.
Definitely. They'll cross you to death.
Kind of like that.
But there aren't a lot of those like West Coast underneath concepts that they don't run, which is kind of interesting because I do think that when you look around at some of the other quarterbacks, it feels weird to say because I do think it's a gimmick offense and not in a bad way, but in terms of like how they go about a lot of their business, there's a lot of like feed our playmakers, just get guys in space and let them go, you know?
Sure.
But there are a lot of NFL concepts in there.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're the most like diverse group, but in terms of just quantity of different types of throws, like all the underneath stuff is there. Every little piece of it. There is not a piece of the underneath that isn't there.
And the intermediate stuff really stood out to me on the rewatch.
There, I agree.
Really stood out.
You don't
put up those completion percentage numbers if you're not able to do that, man.
Yep. I do. I mean, 76% of his passes, 76% of his completions within 9 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a lot of that. It's underneath, mm-hmm. and then in intermediate, underneath, mm-hmm. and then deep, underneath. And so in the NFL, I wonder if you might need a little bit more volume on those intermediates, and how does that hold up in terms of consistency once you're doing it more? I think, I'm happy to see a quarterback who's going over the middle a lot more than in the past. I think Sean Payton is too. I think the Broncos were about 50-50.
I think it's a low-key important trait evaluating a quarterback. And look, the deeper stuff could come in more Shanahan offense concepts, more naked boots, more getting in out on the run, half-field reads, and that's where you can attack deeper.
Yep.
Especially when he is on the move where I think his deeper throws are more
throw
accurate.
In some bootlegs and get him out there. Yeah. But I, as much as I'm excited for like more
I'd
middle of the
Brock
field.
Purdy game plan in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You need different playmakers.
If you start hitting on some intermediate outside the numbers and hitting on some go balls and then just tick up a little bit in terms of like the slot fades, like the tight end has like a miss, throw a high ball. The placement on those I think is a little bit hit or miss, and maybe even the decision making on top of that maybe a little bit aggressive, but there are just a few areas where if he cleans them up the ceiling questions disappear.
Yep.
The ceiling question then becomes he's 24.
Yep. That's right.
Because, I mean, we have to remember, I mean, five-star recruit, is, number one dual threat quarterback in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, supposed to be this guy, has all the physical
tools. Some of the
profile
sounds like
dude.
Drew Sanders. Like, number one athlete out of Texas, five-star guy, goes to Bama, supposed to be a beast, buried a little bit in a depth chart, you know, which wasn't the case with Bo Nix. He starts from the top and it's 9-4, the rank, they beat Bama.
It is just crazy.
But like, then it got rough.
Doesn't complete 60% of his passes at Auburn. It starts for three seasons somehow
that's
while not
thing,
completing
man.
60%
that's
of his passes.
Thing.
And then the next year leads, no, second in the nation in completion percentage. The next year sets the all-time record. So you see this variance. And, you know, the only people who I've heard really argue with me based on the film room is like talk about what he did at Auburn. And that's the other piece here, which but is like, do you just Auburn totally throw to it me all out?
It's more encouraging than it hurts him now.
Because you know that he has the underneath when at that point.
Like, if he was just the guy we saw at Oregon, then 12 would be too rich.
Yeah.
But when you add, he's a five, like, this is a legit dude. And you add, like, that athleticism, like, I don't know.
Especially, like, when you see him as a freshman.
Spots, yes.
Like, when you see him as a freshman, even that first game at Oregon, you see some throws where you're like,
off-platform throws.
Like, you're doing this as an 18-year-old, your first college game. Yeah, no, there is some of that. There was a lack of consistency and the underneath stuff. You can even blame it on scheme if you want. I'm not sure I would. But
I'll also admit, us college-heavy guys, we, as much as we can, NFL guys might have a little prospect fatigue. The guys who've been in college a long time, there's prospect fatigue. It took me longer to come around to what Baker was at Oklahoma. It took me longer to come around to what Burrow was at LSU. It's taken me longer on Bo Nix.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair.
Penix, I was just a huge fan from the get.
I mean, there's a dozen throws every game where you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whereas you go through the Bo Nix tape, and like I said, you might be halfway through the second quarter, and you feel like every single throw has been a waste of time because it's like a dink or a dunk.
Let's take another quick break. But there's so much to get into with Bo Nix.
We could go for hours.
I know.
We will go for hours.
You could also go 4 hours on the Pub Pass Beer Lovers. What a great deal. I had a buddy in town just 2 weeks ago, and he's asking, what's a good brewery to go to? What's a good this to do? I have no clue, man. Like, I just grind film.
Eat some spaghetti.
I don't know, dog. But had I known, I would have got on the Pub Pass on my phone. This has all the breweries around town, all great deals. You download the app, you use code DMVR, bang, 50% off for you. And the Pub Pass app gets you a buy one, get one, $1 and even free beers at more than 300 breweries and bars in the greater Denver area. Oh my, oh my, oh my. The deals refresh every 30 days. It's just a great service, an app, and easy to help you make decisions. Food decisions, probably the most stressful and hardest things to do in adulthood.
That's
is that crazy? Is that a hot take?
Totally right.
Though. Okay, thank you.
No, but the thing is,
thank you.
When it was just me and I was not living with Lexi, whom I love, it was so much easier.
Shout out.
But now at this point,
it's tough.
It's every single day. And it's just like there's some days where I'm just like, I legitimately don't care. I just can't talk about it for a half hour.
I know.
You know, but the thing is, she also doesn't care. Yeah. And so where does that get us?
Right. Huh. Right. DMVR fans, get you a 1-year subscription for half off using promo code DMVR. That's a year of access to the best craft beer app in the country for about $2 a month. Crazy. Download Pub Pass now in the App Store or Google Play Store.
We should get a Pub Pass.
And use code DMVR when you sign up. The Pub Ass Pass would be amazing. Okay, and also shout out to Bet365. I won some big time Skrilla last night on some draft props at Bet365.
Michael Penix Jr. going 8 overall.
Exactly. Plus 4,000. That was 40-1 odds. God bless James Palmer on the Broncos pod. Everyone else nationally shocked by that pick.
I know.
I'm like, I better sprinkle something on it.
It's been months on the Broncos pod where everybody's like, you guys like Penix too much. Like, you can get him in the third over and over. It's like, why are you even talking about
justified.
It's like, trade down to 18, trade. And it just feels so good. It's like, he's also sick.
Did you guys see James Palmer's tweet right before the 8th
pick? Yes.
He's like, the Falcons are about to shot.
What a legend. So all you have to do is sign up with DMVR365 is the code. And you can also enter to win this 6-week promotion we've got going on right now. Just email us a screenshot of using that code at promo@thedmvr.com to show us proof. And you can enter to win swag this week, next week, the week after that. And big, big prizes if you participate with us all week. Head to thedmvr.com/bet365 for more information. Must be 21 plus and physically located in Colorado. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Luckily, we could talk about this for hours, and we have the opportunity to do so very soon.
Yeah, and I think
do you want to stick to Bo Nix or do you want to move to the rest of the first and what
I
shocked
think,
you?
I think we do just a few minutes real quick and just say game plan for the rest of the draft. How do you maximize Bo Nix in this draft? We do that for like 3 minutes and then we go longer on it on the actual draft show.
Yes.
Because that'll be the big talking point. First of all, do you think that you now look at the rest of this draft and say, this is about helping Bo Nix, or is this raise the floor, raise the ceiling? If you need a defensive tackle, there's a defense. Yeah. You take deep. Like, how does this change the approach?
I think it's playing the board and being able to just acquire as much talent as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I do think there should be an extra focus on offensive skill players. And I've said for a while, skill players who make your offense multiple. So what I've actually said for a while is I just think this Broncos offense is missing like two or three more athletes who are in the 6'2 to 6'5, 220 to 250 range, right? Mm-hmm. Anyone from a big back to a fullback who's got some dynamic skills to a tight end. Give me like two of those guys.
That's exactly.
Or maybe a receiving back while we're at it. You know, like just more skill players.
You know what I was thinking?
Please.
There's an alternate universe where somehow the Broncos have like three picks today.
A Toyota truck.
And you could wind up with the three Oregon dudes. Jackson Powers Johnson.
Is he dropping that far because of character?
That's the thing is I don't know if he's an option at 76, but I would have. I mean, yes, I
also
would take him
Mike
in the first.
Nugent, Colorado guy, Drake, Michigan beast. Like, this is a great center class.
Yeah, but that's where like you if in an alternate universe you have three picks today and somehow you come away with Jackson Powers Johnson, Troy Franklin, Bucky Irving. Just bring the three Oregon.
That'd be
it's
amazing.
Like, you now have the center. You now have the two guys who are kind of matchup nightmares, can win their one-on-ones and get the ball underneath and turn it into a big game. That would be awesome. But obviously, they don't have all those picks. But I think all three of those Oregon guys very much on the board today. And I totally agree. I think skill position, a tight end. I think this is a class.
Ben Sinnott's a favorite of mine. Jaheim Bell from Florida State's a favorite of yours. I saw someone mention Sinnott in the Toyota chat. And look, Jatavion Sanders would be awesome. And then there's a ton of wide receivers. So wait on wide receivers. How do you use these fifth rounders? You've got three to maybe move up, make some moves today or earlier in the fourth where there's always nice value. And then, how do you figure out running back?
Big picture to me, Bo Nix is a guy who he can give you big plays, but those big plays are going to be more often than not hitting a guy underneath and letting him work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want him to succeed, if you want to come out of this rookie year saying, hey, he's good and the numbers are good and there's no reason to have any doubts, you just need a little bit more juice. You need some guys who can go do that for him, because right now, you know, I'm not sure that Tim Patrick is a guy who's gonna get the ball and then go make something happen. So you
honestly,
might be dink and dunk might be 6 yards, 5 yards, 6 yards, five, and instead of just having those plays and things break
skill
open.
Position guy for Bo Nix would have probably been Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
Fair?
No, I think there's something to that. I definitely, yeah.
And so do you maybe target some of those wide receivers in this class? I don't know, like a Ladd McConkey, who are more suited to a rhythm offense, more of a West Coast offense in some ways, right?
Especially because that's what you're lacking on the roster. Or is it like you don't have like a true slot receiver?
Or do you want
if you can get an
guys.
Actual slot receiver, it solves it. It was catch and run and slot.
Malachi Corley would be a big target for your boy right now.
I think there's room for two tight ends on the roster if you really want to get
Roman
crazy.
Roman Wilson, Jalen Polk would also fit this.
And I did forget one more Bo Nix thing, and then I'm done with Bo Nix.
Then we're done with Bo Nix.
The transition to the NFL.
Yeah.
Rhythm offense.
Yeah.
You now have corners pressing your receivers.
Uh-huh.
So that's going to make it a little bit tougher because that little quick slant isn't necessarily free release. He's right there, bang.
Yeah.
So I do think that's a little tweak. I think on top of that, disguised coverages, a lot of what he did pre-snap, he sees things well.
He sees the underneath defender. It was so fun going from Zach Wilson to Bo Nix and being like, yo, Zach Wilson has like Jameis Winston disease to where the underneath backer it's blind to him.
Yep.
He does not, he might as well be wearing camo.
Yep.
Bo sees that guy so well.
Yep.
Bo is manipulating that dude 24/7. When I say Bo's playing with supreme accuracy and confidence, I mean he's doing stuff like that, like purposely looking off the safety when I can tell pre-snap this dude knows exactly that he's not going where he's telling the safety to go.
And on top of that, like, I put
he's got more shit to his game between the years than a lot of these guys coming in.
I put the two plays back to back. Just the exact same thing. You got two receivers on your left. You got three on the right. You got the guy in the middle's run the fade. You've got the
out route right behind it. Middle line.
And both the plays, it's the exact same thing. He snaps. He looks to the left with no interest in actually throwing there. Knows the receiver is going to be on the right side. Just flips right back, delivers the ball. And you're just like, this, you know, it's not him actually going through reach because he did it twice. Like, there's two examples of the exact same thing. And just bam, bam. It's just so smooth. Mm-hmm. But I do wonder, you get the disguised defenses. You get safeties rotating late, that sort of thing. I think he could be very good at handling that. It will be a bit of a change, though. So those are the two other concerns in terms of transition. Pressing receivers, how does that alter rhythm? And then rotating coverages, disguised coverages, dropping guys from the defensive line. You know, 3-4 if you want Dallas Turner drop, you know.
And that's where his ability to run and alter defenses that way.
But by time.
And his ability to hit those deep balls and alter defenses that way. That's the ultimate. Yep. It's dunks and threes. Dunks and threes, man. Yep.
And
you
if
make
he
your dunks, you hit those threes, we're going to be in a good spot. Just like you are always in a good spot when you're riding in a Toyota. Your Front Range Toyota stores partnering with DMVR. What a time to be alive, Hank. Kind of like Sean Payton partnering with Bo Nix.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's that kind of magical partnership.
Ooh, who is the Bo Nix of Toyotas?
Oh man. He's reliable.
Is it
forerunner vibes?
I will say the new
is he perfect for Colorado? Is he a great cold weather quarterback, by the way? Best cold weather quarterback in the class?
Big hands.
Yes. He might be the Toyota forerunner of this quarterback class. And everyone knows the forerunner in Colorado. It saved lives. It takes care of business right there. Toyota offers 17 models with available all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive like the Epic 4Runner.
What about like an electric car? Because, you know, there's just some like...
Efficient is what you're
exactly.
thinking.
Exactly. But then you need something with just a little bit of juice. The new Prius is definitely...
Dude, you go on a roadie with one of those, you're feeling good. Like a 74% completion percentage, college football record. Visit your Front Range Toyota stores at a location near you. AutoNation Toyota, Arapahoe and Centennial, Corwin Toyota in Boulder, Grove Toyota in Littleton. That's by us. Mountain States Toyota in Denver, rather by me. Stevenson Toyota East in Aurora and Stevenson Toyota West in Lakewood. Toyota, official automotive partner of the NFL. And of course, shout out to Breck Brew. They housed us yesterday. I went back there to have some lunch today. Boy, that is gourmet food at the Breckenridge Farmhouse.
The meatloaf.
Had a turkey with like fried okra on top, and the turkey smoked in-house with their amber ale. Ooh. It was so good. Their fries are on fleek too. Had a lovely little Breck Brew to, you know,
That was awesome.
Keep the nerves down. Yaya's texting me about headlines and description. I was like, one more of those, please. Breckenridge Brewery. Find a Breck Brew near you, the beer locator. You know what to do. And let's have a great draft night together. Bang. Henry.
Me and Hank kind of looked at each other when we heard on fleek. Yeah, that's the one.
I'm all in on fleek. That was sick.
I liked it. But me and Henry kind of looked at
I've never said that. I'm going to start saying it.
Yeah. Young kids, they have so much to learn.
Whose draft was on fleek yesterday, Dre?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. What a great question / transition. That your transition was on fleek, dare I say.
Wow.
I mean, it's cheating. I find it the stupidest thing ever, but like the Bears, man.
I know. It's like if
that's
you...
That's a hell of a class.
Who, exactly. Like
that
trade
last year looks like one of the great draft day trades of our lifetimes, man.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, yeah, that's the easy answer. I mean, yeah, you're right. Caleb Williams at one, great deal, honestly.
Yeah.
Romo Dunze at nine, maybe even better. No, it's not bad.
And then staying put, not doing any BS with the Vikings, just staying put and doing your thing. I did think there was a stretch from like pick 22 to pick 25, even 26, mm-hmm. where like all those teams just nailed it. Quinyon Mitchell to the Eagles, great pick. They don't have to trade up with the Broncos. They just stay put. Brian Thomas going to the Jaguars after they trade down with Minnesota, who goes up to 17 to get Dallas Turner. Tyrion Arnold, that's 24. One of my favorite guys in this draft class. Mm-hmm. He starts the season playing opposite Kool-Aid McKinney as kind of a, you know, the second corner. He's tested more. He's a converted five-star safety.
That's the thing.
And he's got the dog in him. I think he can play inside, outside, coverage profile. He went viral for his presser explaining, you know, what it's like having Nick Saban like shouting in his face and like giving and like him understanding where Saban's coming from.
I have an idea what that could be like.
Because of me?
Yeah. You know, I just feel like maybe not the exact Saban vibe, but there's a lot of.
Because of me?
Just the, it's a level of excitement with everything you say.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
nice. Can you believe it? Like, you know,
just nice. Got, also, he got excited because you called him excited.
And now you add Brian Branch to the backfield. They got all those guys in free agency last year. And then Jordan Morgan. Morgan's a weird left tackle. He didn't fit a power scheme. But in a zone scheme like that, he's phenomenal. If he doesn't work out as a left tackle, he's going to be a terrific left guard.
Gardner Johnson gone from the Lions. Is that correct? I can't remember where he went. I know he's gone, but I can't remember where he wound up.
I'll look it up.
But I mean, I think that's a pretty great replacement right there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Tarion Arnold, who can be kind of that versatile defensive back. There you get like a good boundary corner. That 4-5, I can't get 4-5-0 out of my head. But yeah, great picks. I totally agree that stretch. Like 22, Quinyon Mitchell, 23, Brian Thomas, 24, Tarion Arnold. Like those are just, how are these guys still on the board? Great value. We're a good team. Take the best value. They took the best value, and those are absolute winners.
Yeah, and Mitchell, honestly, there's like a trickle down from six quarterbacks in the top 12 right. that like, yeah, some good BPAs will kind of fall to you in the 20s.
I mean, like, those are all teams. Like Sean Payton said, like when Penix went off the board, there was a little panic in the Broncos room. So like, wait, we didn't have that go. Like, are we really going to get Bo? If you're one of those teams in there and you see Penix going at eight, you're just like, ah, this is going to be a good night for
That's
us.
Why the Odunze pick was so great.
Oh, absolutely.
And I will say after the Michael Meyer pick last year, the Notre Dame tight end, this Brock Bowers selection is very interesting for the Raiders. And you got to remember, Aiden O'Connell starting at quarterback.
I mean, I was saying last night on the draft show, like if Brock Bowers is there, I'd take him over Bo Nix because...
Oh, sure.
I mean, that's just... To me, a generational prospect. I get the hit rate on tight ends is weird. It's also kind of a small sample size of first round
guys. It's a generational prospect, but it's like we were talking about running backs and linebackers. If you're not LaDainian Tomlinson, you can't impact the game as both a runner and a receiver. Your value is limited. And I wonder if Bowers, like so many of these tight ends that we kind of reach on, Kyle Pitts, Evan Ingram, is more just a big slot. And is he going to be that kind of dominant big slot to warrant a top 15 pick? Because that sounds like more a luxury than a necessity. And I know you're a luxurious man, but...
Weapons are a necessity. And I don't think they have enough.
Creating mismatches is a necessity.
Exactly. And I think he does that. And I think while he doesn't have the physical traits to be the big dominant blocking tight end, I mean, I'd be curious, how big is Travis Kelce, who isn't the greatest blocking tight end, but fills his role?
I feel like he's...
Let's see.
Significantly bigger, dude.
He might be. He might be.
That's like Bowers is like smaller than Trey McBride, who felt a little small.
Yeah. No, he's not the biggest guy, but
he's way more Evan Ingram than
the difference is the personality. Evan Ingram the difference
caught
is
1,000 yards as a tight end in the SEC.
The difference is the attitude. Like he has the attitude. Like he is a mean blocker.
He just gets
whatever he has, he'll maximize it. And so, what you really like is when he's blocking out in space. And if you find a way, you put him in motion or whatever, and almost like use him as a lead blocker. And I think that's true of actually a lot of tight ends in this class. I think you say that about. I mean, you mentioned Ben Sinnott. I think that's where he's at his. A Jaheim Bell. That's another guy where it's like,
put
is
him
he
in
big
movement
enough?
Blockers. They're not.
Hey,
which
isn't ideal.
It's hard to be a good inline blocker in the NFL.
Absolutely. Especially
good
one who can also
luck
get
blocking
open.
Like Dallas Turner and Von Miller and like the best edges in the league.
And that's why I'm not sure if he's like a line him up, power scheme, get push and see what happens. Exactly.
He's not.
But I do think there's enough skills as a blocker that
I know.
But when you look at all the blocking like, tight ends in the NFL, where is he going to rank? Like, it's not going to be at the top, but I don't think anybody's going to be saying, oh, I can't really block. So
when you grade these prospects, like you're trying to assess if it's worth taking a life insurance policy mm-hmm. out on these guys, mm-hmm. that definitely gives you pause, man.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're either going to be a dominant weapon or you will never be worth this pick.
Yeah.
And then I thought Ricky Pearsall, Xavier Worthy, the two wide receiver picks at the bottom of the first round were very interesting. Pearsall, to me, he can play a little inside, outside, very good possession mm-hmm. wide receiver. Stats don't jump out to you, but if you watch the All-22, mm-hmm. it's a guy who's getting open quite a bit and maybe not always getting the ball thrown to him in a pretty miserable Florida offense. And so I want, you know, the ceiling was hard to assess. But then, you know, the Niners move up to trade him, to get him. And I did wonder, boy, is there some Cooper Kupp to this kid?
I think the big thing to me is that scheme. I think when you're the 49ers and you're just running some of those things, you're getting guys open underneath. Like if
they've missed on some wide receivers in the draft, the Dante Pettises. And I forget who they drafted last year. I didn't love that pick. Some Michigan kid. I'll look it up. Don't worry.
Yeah. No, I'm curious. I don't remember that. But I mean, if you're asking him to go be Justin Jefferson, that's not going to work. If you're asking him to go be AJ Green, that's not going to work. Like, he isn't the most versatile receiver. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not a big guy. He's not your jump ball guy. He's not your run the boundary and really stress defenses out there type of guy. But he does so much in the middle of the field that, again, Sean Payton always talks about having a clear vision for a player. The 49ers, it's so easy to see what that vision is. And if they're actually going to be trading one of Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk, I think that, especially in that Deebo role, current Deebo role, I wouldn't be surprised if he's able to replace a lot of that production. Because remember, I mean, Deebo hasn't, I don't think he's had a 900-yard season in either of the last 2 years.
Well,
you play him in the slot, you let him get the ball, let him make a move.
Theory that pick is to move on from Deebo.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on to Ayuk, give him the contract he wants, trade Deebo to free that
and
up.
And I think if I had to set the odds, I would say it's 50-50 Debo's on the roster at the start of the season.
Real quick, do you think the Bills traded back a couple of times to get more ammo to trade for Deebo?
It's possible. I'm curious what Debo's worth at this point.
I'm curious what the Bills are doing as well. That's another interesting theme in this.
I also think
Danny Gray from 2 years ago was the guy I was thinking about, SMU wide receiver, who, again, they've kind of moved on from with this pick.
And also, if you're talking about a guy who can get open underneath and make something happen for a young quarterback who needs players to get make things happen, Deebo Samuel is that kind of mold.
Yeah.
And
that's where Ricky Pearsall, I think he's more of a number two possession guy. The getting open mm-hmm. underneath, he's not super twitched up.
That's fair.
I do think that's a bit of a limitation to his game.
But, I mean, Broncos perspective, if they were to trade for Deebo Samuel, it's a $20 million cap hit this year, $16 next year. Right now you've got Cortland Sutton for, I think, $13.5 million and $14 million would be the savings if you trade him. So in a world in which, I mean, could you justify another $9 million over the next 2 years for Deebo Samuel instead of Cortland Sutton? And what is the pick differential with Sutton out, Deebo in? It's probably not going to happen. It's probably a crazy move. Deebo is 29, but
very interesting.
When you're thinking scheme, it is. I spent some time thinking about it.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
I love how popping the Toyota chat is. I love how many people we had tuning in yesterday. I can't wait to get Todd on. This with my guy Frank and Big Yaya over here. Frank, thanks so much for doing this. And we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
The Under
Broncos podcast presented by Raising Cane's and Breckenridge.
We'll kill a couple hours for the Broncos pick.
That's right. Beautiful thing.